Hello, and welcome to episode 61 of Speak Beastie for May 6th, 2018.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Amy.
Yay, the gang's all here.
The gang is all here.
What was I saying earlier about awkward transitions?
Yeah.
That was the best transition I ever heard in my life.
I shouldered that responsibility well.
I wrote in the doc, insert funny banter here.
This
I was
is like, funny. I'm laughing.
I think we're hilarious.
We are.
We're good
times. Before the episode, we were really thrown out. Some good ones before we started recording.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, yeah, I was like, oh no, guys,
never know.
Save it for later. And now we're here, and we're like, what? Well, we got nothing. And I'm here to
here
say, I told
are.
You so.
Oh, on that note,
but wait, we do have something. We
what?
Have the Phoenix Register.
Oh,
and now a message from our sponsors. Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint. Just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as $1 dragon a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billywigs Knees, and how.
We got more news! We got lots of news, guys, and we're gonna talk about it. Even though it's not a lot, we're excited, so that's what counts. Don't you agree?
Yeah!
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the support. Okay. So, the first thing in the news is not technically Fantastic Beasts, but I've been obsessed with it for the last week, so I feel like we need to talk about it. And that is the new Hogwarts Mystery fun. Game.
Yes.
Ooh, so, I have all you guys don't... been playing it?
No.
Yeah. Oh!
I have.
We got half the people here playing and half the people not, so we've got...
Oh my goodness.
An even divide.
Wait, who's not
well,
playing
it's
it?
The best thing that's ever happened to me.
It's honestly, you guys, it's so fun. It's really addicting. Like, really addicting.
That's why I can't go near it. I would.
It's so great.
Well, but the good thing is that it forces you to stop playing because you have to wait.
Or you have to pay money, which
I don't like.
I'm going to confess something on this podcast stays on this podcast is that Haley has spent about $4 on Hogwarts Mystery.
Oh no, Haley.
$4 whole.
I did. I was weak. I was really weak.
I mean, understandable.
I would be that weak. I know myself too well. I'm like, I can't go near it. I will spend money. I will get impatient.
You have to, though. It's so fun. So just.
I love Rowan.
Oh yeah.
I would die for Rowan.
I would die for Rowan. I just want to give a brief description for anyone who hasn't played yet and is thinking about playing the game. So first of all, it's really great. It's a story game. And it's an app on your phone. You can download it, iPhone. I think Android is good as well, I'm pretty sure. But it's basically, you get to play as a Hogwarts student. You get to pick your house. You get to be whichever one you pick. There's not like a test or anything.
No,
and
I'm screwed.
Yeah, you just can't decide. Yeah. You
it's
have to pick house.
It's like, what house are you hoping to be in? And I was all right.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I was like, at the very least, it could have a question that's like, what's your favorite thing? Friendships. Snakes. Reading.
Right.
But it doesn't. But on the other hand, like, we all know what our houses are.
True. Yeah. I saw what Lizzie said this last time, where she was like, it would be really cool if it was, like, linked up to your Pottermore account, so it just automatically put you in that house. I would love that.
Which anyway, Pottermore account, though?
Oh, real. You have to just log in to it. But, yeah, so you get to, basically, you play as a Hogwarts student, and the story is set in the 1980s, which is really cool. It's before Harry goes to school. It's, like, right when Harry's born. Or, like, well, when he just defeated Voldemort. And so you're going to school with Bill Weasley and with Tonks. I haven't gotten to them yet. You don't meet them until year two and three. But,
Second year and third year, I'm like 2 and 3 years old.
No. You're 11 when you start. Yeah, you start as a first year.
Start off really young.
Yeah, you're a baby.
You're a prodigy. You're like, send this baby to Hogwarts.
Yeah, but yeah, so you start as just like a year one student, and you get to go to classes, you get to meet all these new characters, which I find really funny, and in my mind I'm like, am I supposed to consider these characters like canonly being at Hogwarts in the 1980s? I don't know how to think about it. I kind of want to, because I kind of love a lot of these characters. So, but also the problem is, okay, Shannon, you're a Hufflepuff. I'm at Ravenclaw, right?
Yes.
So Rowan in your game is a Ravenclaw, correct?
Yes, and I'm also, so me and like three of my friends here all started it at the same time. So we all tried to like, for the first like few things, do different stuff to see how the game changed. So I'm playing as a boy. So Rowan's a boy for me.
Oh, tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rowan is your friend in the game, and he or she, depending on what character you choose to play as, will be a boy or a girl and also will always be in your house with you. But is Ben in your house as well in the game?
No. So Ben, it looks like all the other characters are the same. They're in their same houses. So like I had a friend who started the game as a Slytherin, and Marula was still a Slytherin, but Marula was still a
Oh.
That wasn't me that time.
Marula is the worst. Yeah, she's the Slytherin baddie who will like literally get on your nerves for no reason. You're like, girl, I didn't do nothing to you. What are you doing? Yeah. She's literally the worst.
She's not even like Malfoy. Malfoy at least is like, oh, let's be friends. And Harry's like, nah.
She's just like, I'm the best witch at Hogwarts. And she's like,
and it's like, you're 11.
And then you try to duel her and she flipendos you, and then you do Lumos at her, and it's really like, it's embarrassing.
What? It's so embarrassing. Why would you choose Lumos?
You can't. You don't choose anything.
You've only learned one spell.
I will blind you with my light.
Okay, let me just say, you wand. Shouldn't go getting in a duel if all you know how to do is a Lumos.
Like, it's pretty hilarious. Yeah.
You have no business dueling.
But yeah, so like, but Shannon, what house is Ben in your game?
A Gryffindor.
Oh, so he is a Gryffindor always.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then Penny's and Hufflepuff in yours as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there are, so that's my thing though. It's like there are these kind of new canon characters with their own houses and stuff, like, and they have these backstories, like Merla's the worst, Ben is shy, he's basically Neville, and Penny's this really popular Hufflepuff girl, and I really like her, she's great.
And every house has a different prefect. So my prefect is Chester.
Mine is Angela.
Mm-hmm. And I know the Hufflepuff prefect is Jane.
It's really cool, though. I really like the new characters you get to learn about. It's. I love the fact that they picked the 80s because while you don't have to deal with Harry's nonsense, I thought it was so funny. I'm like, I'm actually, like, I'm going to classes and stuff, and, like, crazy things aren't happening. Well, they are happening, but it's not Harry's fault, which is great.
So the premise is, like, your older brother.
Yeah, Jacob.
When he was in Hogwarts. Yeah, Jacob. And he's still a brother for me. I thought maybe it would be a sister if I was a boy, but it's not. He went in search of the cursed vaults.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then, like, put Hogwarts in danger and kicked ran away out of school, and is missing.
And he's missing.
Yeah.
And it's craziness. Whoa. And I'm also wondering, it's like, is this canon? Are these cursed vaults like a thing that happened in the 80s and Hogwarts? Like the thing is, I actually wouldn't mind if it's canon. It's kind of cool. I really do like it. And I'm just wondering how it will fit in the Harry Potter canon compared to Fantastic Beasts or like Cursed Child, you know?
Not canon.
You haven't even played it. You're gonna love these characters. You're gonna be like,
I'm that it's person. Like
not canon in the sense that like, you know, your character is going
to
be.
Are you telling me that I didn't go to Hogwarts in the 80s? Is that what you're telling me right now?
I mean, to me, like, a game is so much different than, like...
It is. It's just interesting, because we're getting a time period that we've never got before.
Stuff that, like, is expanding the world.
Because there is some stuff in the game like that.
I think, like, things like the games and Cursed Child and, like, companion books, all that sort of stuff that's, like, expanding the world is, like, complementary to the canon, but, like, not
canon. I get. You were saying, Jen, you were asking me if I played as my character. And the answer is yes, I did. I look like myself. I have my name. I want to be at Hogwarts. It's great. I love it.
My boy is named Joshua Collins. Beautiful. And he does look like me because I have boy hair.
That's so great. It's no.
I had to save up so much gold to get the hair I wanted, but it's worth it.
Oh, I bought a necklace. I love it. It's a little snitch. Ooh. Yeah, but basically,
wow, guys.
It's expensive.
It's fancy. I highly recommend
it. I can't wait until I can buy jeans.
I really think if you're like, if you like, just play the game. If you are any interested in it at all, you don't have to spend money. You do have to wait, but it's really fun. Even though there's like weirdly big sandwiches in the game, it's like hilarious. Yeah. Like every time you eat a sandwich and it's like the size of your head and it's so funny.
It really is.
It's ridiculous.
Is that the only choice at Hogwarts sandwiches?
That's all they eat is these huge sandwiches. And it's like, it's funny because you'll be like, talk to this character, eats a huge sandwich. Next thing, talk to another character, eats another huge sandwich. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm about that life.
It's great. But yeah, Hogwarts Mystery. I love it. Shannon loves it. You guys should get on board. Yeah. Ruin your lives. It's great.
I know myself too well. I can't. I won't do it.
I plan to eventually.
I'm excited.
I'm playing it right now.
Oh my gosh, I love. Okay, so kind of moving on to our next news now. We actually have a really big piece of Fantastic Beasts news, which is really exciting, that J.K. Rowling tweeted out on her Twitter, and it's a picture of her and Jessica Williams, and Jessica Williams has this beautiful purple hair, which I love, but she tweeted about her character in Fantastic Beasts, and she revealed that she's going to be an Ilvermorny teacher, and her name is Eulalie, would you say?
Yes.
Eulalie, yeah. And her nickname is Lally Hicks, so her name will be Lally Hicks in the film. And she says that she's going to be hinted at in Fantastic Beasts 2, whether that means they just talk about her, or she has, like, the smallest of cameos, we don't know yet, but she says that she's going to be, like, really heavily featured in Fantastic Beasts 3. Which I am very excited that we are learning more about Ilvermorny.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is totally not what I expected Jessica Williams' character to be.
But I didn't either.
Like, very far from what I had theorized.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I feel like it's kind of cool, though. Like, first of all, I really hope she has the purple hair in the movie, because wouldn't that be amazing?
Right.
But that would be so cool to have kind of like this punk teacher at the American school. Like, I feel just like seeing her, it's like, man, is the American school just like super chill and just have these cool teachers? I wonder what she teaches. What do you think she'll teach?
Ooh,
give me a guess.
Transfiguration.
I mean, do they even have the same classes?
Something cool.
I feel like they'd have to have the same classes, because I mean, yeah, like, we don't have the same technical like tests as England, but we still learn like math, science, English, you know what I mean? We still learn the same things.
Yeah. I know Durmstrang taught different lessons than Hogwarts, but they were also like way more focused on the dark arts.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure, you know. And I'm sure because as you see in the story, that Ilvermorny is very much based on Hogwarts because she wanted to go there. So I assume that's going to be actually very similar to Hogwarts in that sense, you know, like teaching style and like classes. I think maybe they might have some more traditional American things, since there's like all this like history in the American magic where they're talking about like with like the animals and stuff, maybe more focused at the American school, since they also have like the Pukwudgie thing and all the stories about the beasts, about how they founded the school, you know? I think maybe they're more into the beasts at the school, which would be cool. For Ooh, what if she's the Care of Magical Creatures teacher, and that's, like, how she's related to Newt?
Ooh, I like that.
That could be something.
That would be good.
And that
good
could be theory. How she's, like, helping. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah, that would be really cool, and then she could be, like, hey, Newt, I can help you. And he'll be like, man, thank you so much.
Man. Because Newt says things like man.
He's learning, like, American slang from Teeny. From Tina and Queenie.
Teeny.
Teeny. It's my... It's like their together name. It's like when I want to talk about both of them at once.
Their sister name.
Yeah.
Teeny. I just think it's hilarious that, like, we did, like, such a deep dive into purple herons and their origins and where they're from. And it's like,
you're on Twitter.
Not at all.
And then it's probably just as simple as, like, purple hair on her
exactly.
head.
Exactly.
Like,
it just looks
purple
good.
Hair.
Yeah. So anyway,
and then I'm really excited for that. I think it's gonna be cool. We don't really know much about her or anything about Fantastic Beasts 3, but I wondered kind of like her age, if she would have went to school with Tina and Queenie, you know.
Yeah.
I would suspect she would, because they're all kind of the same age, I'd assume. And then she's the one who goes to teach after. So maybe she might be a, why did I just forget the names of the, oh, she might be a horned serpent if she's, like, intelligent and, like, scholarly, you know, since that's the thing about their house. She's like, I'm going back to teach. I'm just coming up with theories galore. It's my job. But yeah, that's, I just think I'm really excited about her. And moving on to our next news is that we actually... There is some new footage. We don't have the footage confirmed, right? I haven't seen it. It's not out, is it?
No, it's not available to watch.
Yeah, so, but the footage that was shown at CinemaCon in Las Vegas was, it included Dumbledore teaching students to repel Boggarts. Wait, what? Okay, I'm shook. Sorry, I'm, like, reading this for the first time. So, the quote says, everyone is scared of something, says Dumbledore, and Newt faces his worst fear working in an office. But wait. Why is he teaching students to repel Boggarts?
Newt became all of us.
He's a transfiguration teacher! Oh my gosh, now I'm more... I was on board with, like, not caring about that thing in the trailer, being like, oh, I'm sure he's just in the classroom, I'm sure it's fine. I am shook. Maybe he switches jobs. Maybe he's filling in for someone. Oh my gosh, you guys. This is next level. I'm sorry. I cannot believe. I was like, I kept telling people, don't worry about it. I'm sure it's fine. Maybe it's not. And then also the other clip, sorry for my rambling, but the other clip shows Grindelwald's rise in resistance to the growing distance between Nomadge and Wizarding communities. And a present day Dumbledore then has the following conversation with Newt. Dumbledore says, you've heard rumors Grindelwald will rise to dominate the Wizarding world. And Newt says, you asking me to help? And Dumbledore says, and to learn. I can't move against Grindelwald. It has to be you. So that's some...
So we
cool
get a
dialogue.
Little longer glimpse at the dialogue leading to that has
that
to be
line.
You.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And it says, we may... So is this other... They do see a glimpse of Dumbledore looking into the Mirror of Erised? That is what's happening in the trailer? I mean, in the footage?
Yeah.
That's what people
I guess.
Are saying. I
oh,
guess it's a
it's...
very, very quick clip.
Oh, so because they've only played it once and it can't be leaked. So there may or may not be Dumbledore looking into the Mirror of Erised. That's fun. We can't confirm because we can't see the footage, RIP.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
And maybe you can't tell me it's not, so gotcha. And it says that Jacob sees Nicholas Flamel, and that's amazing. Let us all remember back many moons ago when I guessed Nicholas Flamel was going to be in this movie before it happened. I will never not be proud of myself.
You get full credit for that one.
Thank you.
So also, another part of the clip is Jacob asks, are you a ghost? To a very old pale man standing behind him. And he says, no, I'm alive, but I'm an alchemist, and therefore immortal, says the man before introducing himself as Nicholas Flamel. Later in the clip, Jacob tells Flamel, you don't look a day over 375.
Oh, I'm dead.
Hold on. I love it.
Can I say something? Can I gripe real quick?
Can
I be that person? Because, like, who introduces themselves
themselves, excuse me, like, no, I'm alive, but I'm an alchemist, and therefore immortal. Therefore. Like, no one talks like that in real life. Like, this is very clearly movie dialogue trying to get us to recognize who this person is.
375. Maybe they talked like that back then, you know?
No, I'm not going to
talk in 2010.
I'm an alchemist. But I'm an alchemist, and therefore immortal. Like,
exactly. No.
Like, that is pure, like... Like, you know when you're watching a movie and they're sitting there and like, you know, you really need to get over when mom and dad passed away 5 years ago in that car accident. It's like, you know that. I know we don't know that and you're trying to explain it to us. I know Michael probably has like a really good movie term for this. But yeah. I'm just like, I hate when that happens because I'm like, don't explain things to me like I'm five. Like, don't treat me, the moviegoer, like an idiot.
Yeah, I also, when I was reading that, was like, this sounds like cheesy dialogue.
Yeah, like, if I had to introduce myself to someone, I would not.
No, I would never. I'm alive, but I'm an alchemist, and therefore immortal. Oh. I'm like auditioning for Fantastic Beasts 3. Please contact my email.
Have my people talk to your people. Oh, gosh. That's just pure... I'm not even going to say what that is. But I hope they fix that in the movie, in the final cut. Because there was a lot that showed up.
I'm just very excited to see Nicholas Flamel.
Yeah.
I am too. I think he's going to be really cool.
I never imagined him looking already dead.
Yeah, I didn't think he would look like a ghost.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of just thought he'd look like a normal person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, it says he looks like a ghost. That's weird.
Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't want to live that long if I look awful.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's
not that I'm vain or anything. It's just like I don't want people to like literally ask me all the time, "Are you dead?
Are you dead?" maybe that's what it is. People ask him that all the time, so he's like, "That's his go-to. I'm an alchemist. I'm immortal. Like that's his like. Yeah, that's just.
He has, like,
I don't know. I'm alive. Intro. I'm an alchemist. I'm immortal. Quick, we're over. Don't ask me any more questions. Maybe that's
moving.
Maybe
on.
That's why he talks like that.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't say it dramatically. Maybe he says it just really like.
Bored.
I'm alive.
I'm an alchemist. I'm alive, and therefore immortal. That makes more sense. I like that better.
That's true. We're interpreting it based off of someone else who had seen it, who didn't like explain how it was being said.
And that might not even be the exact line. They're just like remembering what they heard. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick scribbles. It did make me think of John Mulaney. I don't know how, if any of like when he's like. I'm homeless.
Yeah.
I push.
I have. No, he's like, I am gay. Yeah. I have AIDS. And I'm new in town. And then I'll shove him.
Oh, God.
I watched Kid Gorgeous yesterday.
So did I. That's not what we're here to talk about. We'll talk about that later because Igor's already probably really pissed off.
So next episode, guys, we have to all have intros rehearsed for ourselves. Explaining ourselves to the general public.
I really want to do
three nouns.
Yes.
Shall we move on? So the main discussion today is going to be about the Lestrange family because they're apparently going to be important in the next movie. Maybe
they're like in it.
Do we Lestrange is pronounced Lestrange, right? It's not pronounced like
Lestrange.
It better be, or I've been saying it wrong my entire life.
I don't know.
Lestrange.
What is it, Lestrange or something? Probably. It's probably actually
Lestrange.
It's like Voldemort. I'm like, I still say Voldemort.
It's Lestrange.
Yeah.
Or Grindelwald, which is Grindelwald.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going by how they say it in the films. It's Lestrange.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they say in the films.
They're going to keep up with the last film, so it'll be Lestrange.
So in case you're unfamiliar with the Lestrange family, they're a family of purebloods. They're part of the Sacred 28, which is this list of pureblood families. There are some Lestranges that we already know about. Bellatrix Lestrange, notably. Although she is only a Lestrange by marriage.
Yes.
It's worth pointing out. She is married to Rodolphus Lestrange. Some other Lestranges are Rabastin,
well, I'd say.
Which is Rodolphus's brother, I believe. And then Radolphus Lestrange. Bigger. So like Rodolphus, but radder.
And when he was
a minister of magic.
Rad.
When your first child disappoints you, when your first child disappoints you, but your second one's rad.
This one's rad, this one's rod.
And then rod and rad. Disappointing children, we got Delphi from Cursed Child.
How dare you put Delphi in here?
Do we though?
Is she Lestrange?
Well, yeah.
Wait, technically, is she Lestrange or is she a riddle?
Or is she a black? Fair. She is a riddle.
I guess she is not a blood related to a Lestrange.
Yeah.
Except Bellatrix.
Mm-hmm.
But Bellatrix is not part of the blood family. So I'll just delete her name.
Yes.
We're okay with that.
Anyway. So the name Lestrange is of French origin, in case you couldn't tell.
Ooh, and we're going to France.
What?
Yeah.
This is all news to me.
So some possible origins of the name, it could refer to Roger Lestrange. So there's a little apostrophe after the L. He was an aristocratic 17th century English journalist.
Ooh.
Who was very much against religious tolerance, which is interesting.
Okay.
There have been recorded various spellings of the name Lestrange, and it is, quote, a confusing surname of great antiquity. It's probably from around the time of the Norman Conquest of 1066, when French was the language of England for three centuries. And it was probably like the name Newman, which was a nickname for someone who was new in there.
Oh, sorry.
New in town. So Newman was the nice, like, that's a new man. And Lestrange was like, they're strange.
Really? That's so funny.
The earliest recordings of the name are found in the county of Norfolk and later in Yorkshire. It should not be assumed that these necessarily described Frenchmen, although this is likely.
Mm.
That's all from most of my information I got from the HP lexicon. That specifically was on the HP lexicon, but it came from the surname database.
Google about the Lestrange family.
Yes. So
like on the lexicon.
Yeah. There's a page. Okay, so the biggest Lestrange that is apparently going to be involved in Crimes of Grindelwald is this little character named Leta Lestrange.
Mm-hmm.
She was born around 1897, assuming she's about the same age as Newt. And according to, a lot of this information is according to the family tree that we saw briefly in the trailer. So she was born to Corvus Lestrange and Lorena Kama.
Kama?
Kama? You know what?
Unpronounceable names, you know?
To,
all these
to
names.
Lorena.
This is my son, Corvus. Like, what are you talking about? So there are lots of names that Leta could be derived from. It's spelled L-E-T-A. I believe Allison talked about the story of Leta and the Swan when she was on at some point. But just to go over it again. Leta, this is a like Greek myth. Leta was the daughter of another name, Thestius, the Aetolian king. And she eventually married another name.
Tyndareus.
And she became queen of Sparta. Then Zeus took the form of a swan and seduced her.
Ooh.
You know how swans do.
Zeus is
he
crazy.
Was like, how should I get this woman? I'm going to be a swan.
She's into that.
It's your thing.
You know, there's another story where he gets with a lady and he's golden rain. So, like, whatever.
Zeus is crazy.
Golden rain.
So then that same night she slept with her husband. So then she gave birth to multiple children because that's how children work. Right. And she gave birth to them specifically in eggs. She gave birth to eggs and then they all hatched.
Also how that works.
Because of the swan. It
kind of varies.
So you're telling me in this movie, Lita's going to hatch eggs. Got it.
Yes. That is 100% confirmed.
No wonder Newt likes her. Oh, Newt would love that. She's like, he's like, girl, you a beast. You a fantastic beast.
When I was looking at this, I was kind of thinking, you know, is this maybe like a nod to her toying with two men's affections? Like maybe. Newt and Theseus?
Ooh, that's a good
or
idea.
Or even also a parallel of like being a double agent working both sides.
Yeah. Or she's going to give birth to eggs.
Yeah, it could be that.
Well, and I thought it was interesting. So there's kind of like mixed accounts of who the fathers are of each of the children. The children are Helen of Troy, who's the most beautiful woman, and the, you know, whole big war happens because of her. Clytemnestra, and then the twins, Castor and Pollux.
I mean, would they not all be quadruplets? Like, those two are set apart for being twins?
Maybe they're in the same egg.
The twins they were in have one egg.
One of the twins' fathers is Tyndareus, and the other twins' father is Zeus, because that's how the Greeks thought it worked.
Oh, really? Goodness. It is? That's hilarious. Yeah, Greek.
That's definitely how babies work.
Greek stories are craziness.
Yeah, I love them, but a lot of them don't make sense.
Yeah.
I was trying to be gracious.
I'm sorry. Everyone go read Percy Jackson. That's more fun.
So some other name, possible name origins. The name Lita, spelled L-I-T-A, means gladly in Latin.
I am glad you're strange.
Lita of Lita and the Swan is spelled L-E-D-A. So these are all spelled different. Mm. And then Leto is the mother of Apollo and Artemis.
Ooh, more twins.
So, yes, more twin mothers.
Ooh, I wonder if she's
sensing a theme.
Yes. So
one will be Newt's and one means. Will be Theseus's. Yes. That,
if that happened in the movie, I'd just walk right out. I'd be like, that's it, I'm done.
This is it. Oh, this is the thing. God.
This is what ruins me forever.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Shannon's so, like, I don't even
these know are what the to theories. Say. These are the theories.
Man, the Greeks, you know. So then some more information we have. We have some from the well, not really like necessarily new information, but just kind of confirmed in the magical movie handbook. She was obviously Newt's friend from school, who was also interested in magical creatures. And because of some sort of experiment with creatures, she endangered the lives of students. But Newt took the fall, and that resulted in his suspension.
What a Hufflepuff.
So that's what we know about the tragic backstory.
There always is one.
Well, not his suspension, his expulsion. Yeah.
Do you guys think, so I know we haven't had this confirmed anywhere that she's a Slytherin, but do you think she's going to be a Slytherin?
I feel like that's
I think
too
it would be
cliche.
Interesting if she's not.
You do? I mean,
yeah.
Not to be that person, but like, it's always a Slytherin. Even in Hogwarts Mystery, it's a Slytherin.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense with knowing what we know about her family line. Yeah. And most families are sorted into the same house.
But I feel like
it'd be cool if she wasn't.
I think it'd be cool if she wasn't. Yeah. Honestly, what I think the Harry Potter thing is, it's that not all Slytherins are bad, but if you are bad, you are in Slytherin. You know, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, whether she was in Slytherin or a different house, I think it would be cool to see friends
in Slytherin and Hufflepuff.
Houses.
Oh, I'd love that. Right. What a right. dynamic. What a duo.
Yeah.
Hashtag goals. Oh, no.
But also, I feel like it would be, it could also kind of shed a light on something I feel like we talk about sometimes, that Hufflepuffs and Slytherins in a weird way are very similar in their sense of loyalty and stuff. And it would be kind of cool to see that, like, similarity between the two of them, if that happened. That would be cool.
Yeah. And, like, the ambition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I feel like can be a really bad mixture in friends. Like, if you're both mm-hmm. competitive and both ambitious, then it's kind of disastrous.
Well, that loyalty definitely shows in Newt with his care for magical creatures.
And also the fact that he's taking the fall from her, it seems, you know?
Right. Yeah, so I think since she apparently likes magical creatures too, it would be interesting if that's just how, like, both of their different kind of house loyalties are reflected.
And they're loyal to animals, both of them? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. We also have a quote from David Yates, and it's from David Yates, so, like, take with a grain of salt, you know? he said, yes, Leta Lestrange comes into the second movie. She's quite complicated and damaged and confused, and Newt is absolutely still in love with her, so she has a kind of power over him. And she's kind of a tragic figure, so we will see a bit more of her in the second movie.
Blah.
Okay, David.
I know Amy
she's
has...
She's damaged and confused. She's a tragic figure. Oh, she's in love with her.
She's a Greek goddess hatched from an egg.
I've never seen this movie before.
It is kind of funny, like, I feel like how many times have we discussed, like, is this a romantic relationship that Newt and Leta had or not? And, like, yes, it's Yates, but, I mean...
So hoping was, like... It wasn't, you know, like, I just wanted it to be friendship because, you know, not every guy and girl who hangs out all the time has to, you know, be attracted to each other. Yeah. And it would have been just so nice if they'd just been friends and he felt betrayed because, you know, the betrayal. And then also
when you betrayed by the betrayal.
Yeah. And then she turns around and starts, like, dating his brother. Like, you know, that would have been good enough. We don't have to do this whole love triangle BS. And, like, I think
it's kind of cute, though, to see, like, you know, the person that you think that you're supposed to be with when you're, like, in school isn't necessarily the person who's right for you. Like, and you kind of see that and, like, realize when you grow up, like, hey, yeah. That wasn't the kind of person I should be with.
Also, on what you're saying about boy-girl relationships, like, young, like, that not all guys and girls have to be together. I feel like J.K. Rowling already did do that with Harry and Hermione. You know, we have that from her, and we know that she believes that. And I feel like maybe in this movie, these series, we'll get that from Newt and Queenie together. Like, I feel like they could be good old pals, but Newt doesn't like Queenie. Hey,
but, like, as good of friends as you can be with your sister-in-law, I guess, like, I feel like, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, oh, we got Harry and Hermione and that's it.
Like, no, I agree. But I'm saying it's like, I do, like, I feel like it's not just like, man, Joe's always, like, doing the same stereotype over and over. It's like, well, I think she does understand that that is a thing because she shows it really well in Harry Potter. So we might get that with some other relationships in this series as well, you know, like maybe with... I mean, I know they have an age difference, but, like, Credence and Tina, another one, would be, like, you know, a friendship forming there. And we don't know yet. I'm guessing they probably are, but I kind of hope they're not. The Maledictus and Credence, I'd like them to just be friends, because, like, Credence is gay, and we all know this, so why pretend he's not? So, yeah. I mean, he can be bi. That's cool. Ezra Miller's bi, so that would actually kind of make sense if you... thrown in that representation there.
I mean, can we really expect that kind of representation at this point?
I mean, I'm just saying because...
I mean, explicitly...
No. I mean, but the thing is, I don't think anyone can watch Fantastic Beasts and say, oh no, Credence doesn't like him at all. Like, come on. Come on. Like, but it happened. We all saw it.
I don't even, like, want to get into this right now or today.
This is not the time.
Yeah. But it's, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, I'm so used to being disappointed that I'm just like, if it happens, then I'd rather be surprised than try to get my hopes up and be like, well, it didn't happen. And now I'm sad about it because it's like, realistically, with everything that's been going around, with Dumbledore, it's just kind of like, don't get your hopes up. And if it happens, that's great. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, wish for it. Because it's as much as, you know, again, I'm just not going to get into it today. I just don't. I can't.
We're here to talk about the Lestranges.
Speaking of that, well, yeah, what did Zoe Kravitz say about it?
Yeah.
So she said, the relationship between Leeta and Newt Scamander is a complex relationship, so I think there will be a lot of time for that to grow and develop, which will be fun. Just, yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I do wonder why they cast an American for a British role.
Because we need it after all this random British people being cast as Americans. That's why.
Well, yeah. I know, but like, I don't mind that so much because I was like, Colin Farrell, yes, please. But when, you know, for a friggin' decade with Harry Potter series and they were like, no one can be American, like only British or, you know, European.
Yeah.
So it
maybe Warner Brothers stepped in and was like, oh, sorry. I said maybe Warner Brothers stepped in and was like, Joe, you need to stop. Like, we're done with this. This isn't happening.
Plot twist. She was an American exchange student.
Oh, God.
Oh, like, gosh. She's from... Oh, my gosh. No. She's from Ilvermorny. And then that's... No. She talks about Lally, whatever her name is. That's how she comes in because they pals. Oh, my gosh. She hasn't talked yet, you guys. She's never talked in the trailer. She's from Ilvermorny. Confirmed. Oh my gosh. And Tina's like, wait, I know her. She used to live in my neighborhood before my parents died.
But no, they went to Hogwarts.
I'm talking about, you're saying that Leeta was an exchange student from America. So she knew her when she was little before her parents died. And then also Leeta.
I guess so.
This is a real stretch. This is not real. I'm just going on a tangent. I like making ridiculous theories. So welcome anyway. To Speak Beastie.
Yeah.
In the first film, she's described as a taker by Queenie. And then really all we know about the second movie is that she is engaged to Theseus Scamander.
She took him!
And that we know... Yeah. We know that we'll see young Leeta, young Newt Scamander, and a character named Sebastian in flashback, I believe.
Sebastian Stan, please?
Okay.
When I start just mixing everything together.
So I have a question Marvel for you guys. Do we think that Leeta could be the mother of Rabastin and Rodolphus? I mean, the timing works out. Like, the film Crimes of Grindelwald is in the 1920s. The Lestranges, Rabastin and Rodolphus, are around the same age as Tom Riddle, who was born in the 20s.
Ooh.
And then going back to that mythology connection, are the Lestrange brothers Castor and Pollux?
Ooh, I love. Parallel. Wait, so would Theseus be the father in this scenario?
Maybe.
Probably not. Something
what if
tells
Newt
me,
was the father? Oh, I would be die. Crazy. That's the complicated relationship.
No.
She's like, that's what she said. She says it's complicated.
Not that complicated.
It's
this
so
isn't
complicated.
A soap opera.
Yes, it is. Like, welcome to Vindantic Beast.
Theseus comes back from the war with amnesia, and his former lover Leeta is now with his brother, who was, you know, formerly in love with Leeta. And then, oh gosh, it sounds like Pearl Harbor. It's
it's
the
intense.
Movie, not the actual thing.
Well, but I will say they have the last name Lestrange.
Well, she's a feminist, so.
Yeah, I mean, that it could be a thing where it's like, no, Lestrange is like a way cooler family.
Yeah,
so.
My family's better than your stupid Scamanders. Some like Salamander, yeah. I think not. And she's like,
Scamander.
Or, you know, husband dies before the kids are born.
So she had someone else, you're saying, before this. And maybe, here's my theory. And then she's, like, trying to marry Theseus because he seems like he's up in the ministry, like, high ranking. So she's trying to make a life for her and her sons. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm sorry I have stupid theories every 5 seconds.
So that's Leeta Lestrange. But then, because of that family tree that's, like, impossible to read, but we can read it. It might be that Credence is a Lestrange. If I'm reading the family tree correctly, then his birth name would be Corvus, after his father and Leeta's father, Corvus Lestrange. So he would be Leeta's half-sibling, and his mom would be Clarice Tremblay.
Ooh.
Is that... I mean... These Lestranges are getting around to be part of the Sacred 28 to really be like,
yeah.
Like, are these two, what's her name, Lorena and Clarissa? Clarice?
Clarice, yeah.
Like, are they also pureblood? Or
who knows? Who knows? I mean,
it's a whole lot of inbreeding.
It really is. It's craziness. I mean, yeah. Oh, also, though.
Well, and we don't know what happened to his first wife.
Yeah.
Assuming they were married.
Well, maybe Credence's mother was not pureblood, and that's why his father kind of cast him away, you know? And he's like, you're a mistake, you know? I don't want to deal with you, and I'm going to marry this other pureblood woman, and then this is my family now, you know? And it's kind of like a dark spot on Lestrange tree.
Interesting.
Oh, but also, I have Credence. A theory here that I really liked about this, his birth name being Corvus.
Uh-huh.
So I give all credit. I heard this theory on the Fantastic Geeks and Where to Find Them podcast, which is Tessa Netting and Brizzy Voice's new podcast. So I heard this on their episode about Crimes of Grindelwald, and I was like, what? When I heard this theory, because I had never heard it before. I thought it was so cool. So basically, the meaning of the word Corvus, it means crow or raven. And and there's an Aesop fable about a crow and a snake, and the snake is like the kiss of death for the crow. And the theory is that so you have the Maledictus, who is the snake, and theorizing possibly Nagini, who we don't know, but like, so you have this, she's the snake in this scenario, and if Credence's name is Corvus, which means crow, then it's like that possibly this is predicting her being his downfall, like her either killing him or tricking him or something. It would just kind of line up with this Aesop fable. And then additionally to this theory, the English version of this story that was published in 1692 was by Robert L. Estrange. Like, come on.
Is that the same guy that Shannon mentioned?
Yeah. I think it might be. I think I might have got the name, one of the names was wrong, because I think yours was Roger. I think maybe mine might have also been Roger, but like, I'm sure that maybe. This might have been someone wrote the name down wrong because it said Robert on the podcast, but it might have been Roger. It might be the same person. And J.K. Rowling, sneaky. Like, but the fact that it's like, his name is L. Estrange, and J.K. Rowling named all these Lestranges after that, it's like, first of all, it's like, how did you think this far in advance? But also, it's like, because Lestrange is in Harry Potter.
Lestrange.
But yeah, so I think it's probably the same guy, Roger Lestrange, L. Estrange, but it's like the fact that he has this story of the crow and the snake, and she's the snake, and Credence is the crow, so watch out for Maledictus.
That's crazy.
And I'm also very much down the wormhole of, I'm like, I thought it was dumb at first, I'm like, she's Nagini. There's just no convincing me she's not right now. She's Nagini. She's Nagini. Like, that's final.
I'm gonna be that person again, but
do it.
I remember one time, this is important, one time I wrote a poem for poetry class, and someone pointed out during peer review, they were like, did you know that you wrote love like at the exact same point, at the exact same verses, like whatever. They were pointing out this crazy thing that made me sound super genius. And I was like, I did not do that on purpose. I'm surprised anyone saw that and figured that out, because I didn't even know. I was just like, a poem is due tomorrow. I need to hurry up and write something.
Me.
So I just want to say, like, maybe J.K. Rowling, you know, did all of this and
without knowing.
But
But the thing is that she is a writer who is very detailed in her names. You know, like the fact that Corvus is such an odd name and that it does mean that. And also the fact that Aesop fables are very popular and they're like, you know, she pulls from stuff like that very often in her writing. And like the fact that his name is L. Estrange, like, are you kidding me? Like, I feel like that's too much of a coincidence, especially since she's known for doing things like this, you know? She's known for having parallels through old stories. So I give it 4.5 stars out of 5. I mean, I
think that's a good
That's my new rating scale I just made up. I think it's pretty solid. But yeah, shout out to that. I found that on the Fantastic Geeks podcast. And I recommend you listen to them. It's a good podcast.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the, like, Lestranges all come into play Because obviously it's not just like Lita Lestrange. It started as like, oh, she's a Lestrange. Isn't that kind of a cool connection? But now it's like, okay, we're looking at family trees and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's getting intense.
Yeah. So that's it for main discussion. Shall we open up the Newt case?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
That's me opening the case.
So one, because Lestrange is a French name. And two, because the last French beast that we went into was a doozy. Do you guys remember those crazy Detroit parades where they burn effigies of this red devil thing? Yeah. Still concerned about Detroit.
Are you okay?
So this time we're looking at this beast. It's called the Melusine.
Good job.
I don't know how you say that. Yeah, covering my bases. So I found it in this list.
I looked at the image and I was like, that's the Starbucks logo. And then I scrolled down in the doc and I was like, oh, you have that. Yeah.
So, the Melusine is a feminine spirit that seems to resemble a mermaid. She is popular in folklores of the northern French regions. She lives in rivers and springs and other fresh waters and is sometimes featured with wings or one or two tails. That could either be a serpent's or a fish tail. It's kind of like a siren in mythology. And just like Shannon said, if that sounds familiar, the Melusine is featured on the Starbucks logo.
You can't really tell anymore since they keep cropping it in every few years.
One day it's just going to be like an eyeball.
But before that super zoomed in green and white logo that we know now, it was apparently a little bit more risque. Mm. We'll just say now the Starbucks Melusine's hair covers her up a little bit better than it used to. And there's an image got here. Really, if you just Google like old Starbucks logos, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's from like the 70s. So in this article that I found, the quote is, the logo was used by the original Starbucks founders to lure coffee lovers from everywhere. So, you know, using that siren, luring power.
That's funny. Her powers worked. Everyone went.
Yeah, exactly. And how that logo came to be, this guy, Terry Heckler, apparently pored over old marine books until he came up with a logo based on an old 16th century Norse woodcut, a two-tailed mermaid. Quote, the mermaid was exotic. She was also topless. And at first, and despite some complaints, Starbucks just rolled with it.
It's funny because they could have easily covered it with her hair in the original logo, but they're like, nah.
No, yeah. It was the 70s. Show her off. Was kind of free
well,
and easy.
Now, like, she's just, like, it's minimalist.
It makes me think
you can barely even tell. But it's interesting, at Magic Kingdom, they still have one of the older logos. Her hair is covering her breasts, but she's still definitely topless.
Wait, at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah.
At the Starbucks?
At that Starbucks, yeah.
I love that Starbucks.
Because it's Main Street USA, it's the olden times.
That makes so much sense! Oh my gosh, Disney's amazing.
Yeah.
So Newt's like, let's go get some Starbucks, guys. And they're like, Newt, that's not real yet. And he's like, you got a point.
Newt walks by a Starbucks and is like, oh my gosh, they keep them here.
That'd be so much.
We must free them. And they're like, what are you talking about?
But also, what made me think like, of, look, the there photo. Is that underwater scene. I mean, if you were going to see your next movie, that's the place you'd see her when he's like on that kelpie.
I mean, I'm not supposed to discuss my role in the movie, but...
That's so great.
But...
They also, it just makes me kind of think of Vila also, like the luring aspect and like feminine aspect of them.
Yeah, they're cousins.
Yeah, they could be. I really want some Vila in this movie, like a lot. That would be amazing, especially since we're in France.
It sounds like you're ordering a dish, not that like you're requesting to see a character in a movie. You're like, I really want some Vila. That's what I really want. I just want some Vila.
I'm craving some Vila. How about you guys?
All I've ever wanted.
It is, though.
A venti Vila with a pump of chocolate.
Yeah. Starbucks! That's my order. What's your Starbucks order of Vila?
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. That's me closing the case.
So that's it for this episode. Our podcast question is, which Hogwarts house do you think Lita will be in? And why do you think what you think? let's keep it. Let's just keep it.
I love it. We want to know.
What do you think you think what you think?
Just, you know, tell us a little about that mind of yours.
We all think thoughts.
What's going on in it? We'd love to hear from you. So drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com because clearly we need your thoughts. You can also leave us a review on iTunes, but be nice about it. And we're also now on Spotify, so that's really exciting because I don't know about any other Harry Potter podcasts from MuggleNet that are on Spotify.
Ooh, that was shady.
Just throwing some shade. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We love kidding, all of our kidding. Podcasts.
Yes. But we're on Spotify.
We love all our podcasts equally.
But take that, Alohomora.
Except we're the best.
Lumos in your face.
And you guys can always contact us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie. Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can always support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/SpeakBeastie. And to all of our Patreon supporters, remember, if you donate, I think it's $5 a month, you get to join our Facebook group, our SpeakBeastie common room, and we have so much fun in there all the time. We're constantly posting memes and fun new facts we find about Fantastic Beasts, and we talk about Hogwarts mystery because I love it, and it's great. So come and join us. We have so much fun.
And you could possibly be a guest on the show if you do join the common room, which is always a fun time.
We love having you guys on.
Yes.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Amy.
I'm Haley.
I'm Ariel. Case closed.